Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and find Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We're going to read 17 through 18. And I'll just ask you to read verse 18 there with me. And then we're going to read 27 to 29. And I'll ask you to read verse 28. So just 18 and 28. And I'll read the rest. Acts chapter number 20, verse 17 says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And then look over to verse 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock."
Keep your Bibles open here to Acts 20. Let me start with this, and then we'll jump into the scriptures. We are so unchurched, biblically and spiritually, in America today. Even many Christians don't know what their own Bible says. Do you realize that the so-called heathen from 200 years ago knew the Bible better than most Christians do today? They had more respect for God and God's house than most Christians do today. You realize up until just about 50 to 75 years ago, that a church membership certificate or church baptismal certificate was a legal identification? Not anymore. Yeah. Say why? Because we have not done what we're supposed to do. I don't blame the government. I blame preachers and I blame churches. Yeah. The problem's not the White House, it's the church house. Yeah. There's a common teaching about church in our country especially that is totally not biblical. The wrong doctrine is that all believers form the body of Christ. The Bible clearly teaches us that all believers do not make up the body of Christ. The religious world has perverted this teaching. By the way, I'm not afraid to use names or anything else to our guests. Don't worry, lightning hasn't struck yet. But this is predominantly started with the Catholic Church. And I'm not here on a vendetta necessarily against them, but the word Catholic means universal. Yeah. If you look up the definition, it means universal. There's a teaching that every Christian makes up the church, that it is a universal and invisible entity. Right. Now, God uses the word here, elders, in verse 17. Look at Acts 20, verse 17 again. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called," notice this, plural, "elders," singular, "church." Mm-hmm. Elders to the church. I want you to notice something here. That means this. The word elder there is another word for pastor. It's not part of a denominational hierarchy. There are three words in the Bible used for pastor. One is pastor, meaning shepherd. The other is the word elder, which means protector or feeder of the sheep. Thirdly, and lastly, is the word bishop. That is the word overseer. My job as pastor is to protect you. That's being the elder. Not age-wise, only. Notice the key word only. But it's also my job to shepherd you, but it's also my job to be the overseer. Somebody once said that a camel is a horse that a Baptist committee put together. Anything with more than one head is a monster.
Yeah.
You have to understand something. God appointed a form of leadership. Now, I've got Brother Kevin on full time. I've got Brother Paul on part time. These are the elders of the church, even though you're a young buck. Amen. Not real smart either, but that's neither here nor there. Now, wait a second. Don't pay much, don't get much, folks. Now, wait a second. God uses terms in the scriptures in a very pointed way. And I'm going to say this. Religion has messed up a lot of Christianity. Just like many of our words in the English language, Christianity and religion has changed what the definition means. Cool used to mean not hot. Now it has a variety of meanings. The word gay used to mean happy. You can't say that anymore that way. We have changed the definition of word meanings in our culture and have tried to interpret the Bible through new meanings, not the way God said it. What liberalism has done is tried to do the same thing with our Constitution. We're trying to use modern terminology to interpret an older document. We need to get back to its original meanings.
Amen.
Now, don't get me started on that. The church here at Ephesus was a large church. It had many pastors, assistant pastors, however you would like to use that word. And the church of Ephesus was an influential church. It was reaching out beyond its own borders, much like Brother Kevin Wynn and much like our church does, has influence in other areas. It wasn't part of a denomination per se. You have to understand, Jesus started the church. Matthew chapter 16, he looked at his disciples and said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter was not the first pope. The Catholic Church did not start till 330 under Constantine at the Council of Nicaea. That was 300 years later. By the way, if Peter was the first pope, he had a mother-in-law, which meant he was married or was a fool. A man that's got a mother-in-law is not married, isn't real smart.
Amen.
Now, wait a second here. We have to understand something, that Jesus started the church. There was no such thing as Catholics and Methodists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians and the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Cow and the Greek Orthodox and the Church of England and all the other things that go on. You say, what was the first church? Personally, I believe it was a Baptist church. You say, why? The man that baptized Jesus into the church was a man named John the what?
Baptist.
That was not his last name. If you track church history, biblically speaking, it goes all the way back to Jesus, not the disciples. Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." Not the disciples' church, his church. Now, the church at Ephesus was a large church, it was a growing church, and it was an influential church. There were many pastors for the large work. God uses the term here, elders, plural, in the church, singular. Many of you don't understand, the word church was a new word. Just like about, 6 or 7 years ago, many of you didn't know what the word COVID meant. You remember how fast that word took off? The word church was a brand new word, just like that was. And it didn't take long for it to spread. Pun intended. Now, I want you to notice something. Why would God send elders to an invisible institution?
Right.
It wasn't that he sent elders to the churches. He sent elders to the church at Ephesus. You see, the flock was the church at Ephesus. Look at verse number 28 with me. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, not flocks, singular, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you, what's the next word?
Overseers.
Overseers. Do you remember what the definition of bishop was? Overseers. So he's talking about the preachers here. Now, notice overseers plural, church singular, not churches. God tells us to feed the flock, singular, over which the Holy Ghost hath made them overseers, plural. Now, if you miss this, you're going to miss the whole sermon. These pastors did not oversee all Christianity. There's no way I could oversee a bunch of churches. I'm pastor of this church.
Amen.
The word church is the word ecclesia, which means a local called out assembly. It's not a large invisible entity.
Right.
Now listen to me. This passage speaks only of one church. Not all churches making up a universal invisible church. Mr. Schofield has it wrong. If you have a Schofield reference Bible, he believed in the universal invisible church. And he's wrong.
Amen.
But he was a Bible scholar preacher. Yeah, I know a lot of other idiots too. The church is very important to God.
Amen.
You say, why? He started it. Now, I have to say this and catch you up. And I was talking to a preacher just this week about this very topic. I've taught him this, and he was saying how much it has changed his ministry and how it's helped him with the Bible. There is a difference between a Hebrew and a Jew.
Amen.
God never promised to bless the Jewish religion.
That's right.
He promised to bless the Hebrew people or the nation of Israel.
Amen.
Jew means a religion. It's a Judaism. Hebrew is a race or a nationality of people.
Amen.
God said to Abraham, I will make thee a great and mighty nation, not a great and mighty religion.
That's right.
Amen.
God's never promised to bless the Jewish religion. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because when Jesus, God in the flesh, came to earth, he started the church.
Amen.
Not a synagogue. He started the church. You say, why? Because the Jewish religion, and it was the Jewish leaders that killed Jesus.
Right.
They were against him. We are not to judge Christianity based on Judaism. We're to base Christianity based on the word of God, not another religion.
Amen.
That's important. Because Jesus himself, a Hebrew, started the church, not a Jew. He didn't participate in the Jewish practices of the day. You see, the church is very important to God because Jesus instituted it, I really believe, because of the fail of the Hebrew nation. They were supposed to let God be their leader. They chose not to, and they ended up worshiping their own government. So Jesus had to come and start the church so that the gospel could be preached around the world as God intended.
Amen.
Now, listen to me very carefully. The church is not to be just a social gathering.
Amen.
It's not supposed to be like the VFW or the Moose Club or the Elks Club or Pinochle Club or whatever. Yeah. It was intended to be the church. Now, there are five statements I want to give you today about the church being the body of Christ. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Number one, Jesus purchased the church at Ephesus and every other local church with his own blood.
Amen.
Look at Acts chapter 20 again. Look at verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church, not churches, church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
Listen to me very carefully here. When Jesus died at Calvary to pay for our sins, he did more than just pay for our sins. He also paid for and bought and purchased the church by his own blood.
Amen.
It wasn't just our salvation, but it was also the church. Now, the church doesn't mean this building. It means this people. This body of believers. Okay? God says in Isaiah, there was also other things that took place. Isaiah 53 said, by his stripes we are healed. He bought our healing. He paid our sin debt. He bought our healing. He also covered our sin. And he paid for the church with his own blood.
Amen.
By the way, that's why you won't shut me up about the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Religion starting taking the blood out of the songbooks and out of their preaching. Oh, it's just such a bloody religion. Well, I hate to tell you something. Since Passover, when the Hebrews left Egypt, he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Methodists are replacing the word blood with the word love in their songs. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the love of Jesus. No, it's more than that. He paid for it with his own blood. It took blood. That's why in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, God had to kill animals and put them in coats of skins. You don't just strip the fur off without the animal dying. He made them coats of skins. By the way, it didn't say coats of fur. It said skins. In other words, blood had to be shed. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. God also tells us Jesus paid for the church with his blood. Here in Acts chapter 20. Look also in Ephesians, just a few pages over, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. God's talking about husbands and wives, and he's talking about marriage, but he also is using that as an illustration about the church. Ephesians 5, look at verse 24. Therefore, as the what? Church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord for the church. For we are members of his body. Notice that statement there. We are members of his body. See that? Of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they twain shall be one, or they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. God uses the illustration of a husband and a wife to picture what God wants between God and the church. Now, listen to this next statement very carefully. Notice that the church and the body of Christ are one. He said, the church, which is the body, we are joined to that body, which is Christ. Now watch this. Just like you have to be saved by accepting him, he wants us to join his body. Just because you get saved does not make you a member of the church. Just like the fact that you might believe there is a Jesus and believe there's a God doesn't make you a Christian. You have to receive what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary, realizing you're a sinner. Because we're sinners, there's a penalty on sin, and that Jesus came and paid that sin debt for us, lived our righteousness for us. He shed his blood, he died, he was buried, he resurrected again to pay that price for us. We must receive that in order to get to heaven. By the way, he put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, according to the book of Hebrews. That's why the blood is important, because it's there in the presence of God, proving that he's covered our sin, but it's also paid for the church. But I want you to notice in Ephesians 5, verses 30 through 32, it talks about us being members of his body. Everybody look at me for a second. God wants you to be a member of a local church. That way you can be a part of his body. This is why he started the church. Not just so that we could have it, go whenever we felt like it, but that we could join and be a part of him and his body. So he paid for it. I love do you remember when Jesus died and he resurrected? He said, I have the keys to the kingdom. Notice it said keys. One of those keys was to the gates of hell. He unlocked them so that we could charge hell. Gates are defensive. They're not offenses. Right. Hell is not attacking us. We're to be attacking hell. What did we do yesterday? We were attacking hell, and the devil really wasn't happy. Amen. Trust me. But can I tell you something? He's not happy anytime that we're doing something that God wants.
That's right.
He'll fight you every step of the way. Why? It's that defense. But guess what? Just come unscrewed, and let's charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen? The gates are open. He had the key to it. Notice Jesus said, I have the keys. What's the other one? He has the keys to the church. He paid for it with his own blood.
That's right.
Conquered it with his resurrection. And he said, I hold the keys to the kingdom. So the church is very important to God because he paid for it with his own blood. Number two. God chose to call the local church his body. I'm using the word appropriately here, the local church. I'm going to prove that to you scripturally. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. This is talking about Jesus, if you see there in verse number 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Look at verse 22. And hath put all things, how many things? All things under his feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the what?
Church.
Which is his body. And the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look at me. God himself, in his own words, says that the church is his body. Did it not?
Amen.
So, the church there is in Ephesus. He's talking to the church in Ephesus here in the book of Ephesians. And it was a local church. We're the Grace Baptist Church here in Kearneysville. Are there other Grace Baptist churches? I'm sure there's many. But this is the Grace Baptist Church here, local, in this area. All believers don't make up the church. If so, this church would be packed. Let me go back to what was, well, let me just keep going here. God calls the local church his body. The word body doesn't mean this wonderful thing you see before you today. That hurts. It does too, trust me. God calls the word body means a complete instrument. And he bought and paid for the complete instrument of the church. Look at Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, just about 8 or 10 pages over from where you were there in Ephesians. Look at Colossians chapter 1, look at verse number 18. Now notice this is to a different church. Hello? Verse number 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. So this is the church at Colossae, the Colossians. Got it? Okay, look at verse number 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Notice he's talking about the church at Colossae. This is a different church. It is a local church. He said the same thing about the church of Ephesians. So he's talking about a local body of believers. Look down to verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now everybody look at me. You say, well, it doesn't say the Baptist church. You're right. Because when Jesus started the church, the only church there was the church. All the others have come hundreds and thousands of years later. There was only one church, and it was started by Jesus. And it multiplied into many different places, and it was supposed to be the same kind of church. Right. Everybody doing okay? By the way, I don't agree with all Baptists either. Amen. We're supposed to not worry about them. We're supposed to be as right as we can be. Not in competition with anybody. We're supposed to obey what that book says because it is his body that we make up the church. Amen. Now, I want you to notice he's not talking about all believers making up this invisible woo thing. We're not all Casper the Ghost floating around on a cloud somewhere. God compared in Ephesians 5 the church to a husband and wife. Now watch this. If it was an invisible institution, that means a man has an invisible wife. Now, it might be nice to have an invisible... Never mind. I was thinking mother-in-law, but I love my mother-in-law. That's why she lives in Minnesota. No, I have power of attorney for her. She better be good to me. No, her birthday was this week, and I wished her a happy birthday. I won't tell you how old she was. She'd kill me for that. But may I say this? God wasn't talking about a man being married to something invisible. Right. It was something physical, structural. And he compared the church to the husband-wife relationship. How could it be an invisible relationship? He used visible things. Everybody doing okay? So, Jesus purchased the church with his blood. God chose to call the local church his body. Not every person who gets saved makes up the body of Christ. Those who join a local church are joining the body of Christ. It doesn't mean people who get saved and don't join a church die and go to hell. It just means they're not members of his body. Everybody doing okay? You don't have to join the church to go to heaven. Well, preacher, what do you mean? Because Jesus, as he was being crucified, had a thief on both sides. One got saved and he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't have time to get to join the church. He was dying that day. So church membership has absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven. But if you want to be a part of the body of Christ, you'll join a local church. Number three. His body is a called out assembly. That's what the word church means. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me restate something that I said earlier to start the sermon. We are very unchurched in America scripturally. We've let religion corrupt even our own minds about what the church is scripturally. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now look at me. Your body has many different members to it. You got your fingers, and each one of those have three entities with it, as well as your thumbs have two. Your toes. You got your neck, your head, you got your chest cavity, you got your stomach, your legs, your feet. Depending on how clumsy you are, some of you have more bones than others because you broke them in many pieces. Like falling out of a tree stand and crushing your heel in 11 pieces and have 5 screws to put it together. Anyway, now wait a second, but it makes up one body. You have many members to it, but it's all one functioning body, or mostly functioning. A body has many members. Don't get this the wrong way. But you don't just visit your body. We're supposed to live in the body, not just occasionally visit it. And God uses that term on purpose. We're to be a member of his body. Everybody got that? All right, hang in here. Everybody is welcome at Grace Baptist Church. I have no problem with that. As we say often here, this is a hospital, not a museum. This is a place where sick people come and get help. This isn't a place where we put perfect things from the past on the wall and say, look what was. This is an emergency room. It gets bloody sometimes. It's full of chaos at times. You say, why? Because there's hurting people that need Christ and need the truth of the Word of God to help them. Amen. And I love it. Wouldn't change it. Wouldn't change one thing we're doing except more of it. But I also have to preach the whole counsel of God. And everyone is members here, or everybody is welcome here, but not everybody comes that's members. We have visitors almost every week. We have folks who have been coming for a long time, and you're more than welcome here, but God says we're to join his body. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 13. For by one Spirit, notice that Spirit is capitalized, Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? With COVID, because I lost mine. But now hath God set the members, every one to them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all in one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now look at me. God's talking about the church here, the body of Christ. We're supposed to be members of it to strengthen it. Amen. You have a right to say, well, I'm not the certain part of the body, so I'm just going to depart. Aren't you glad your stomach didn't say that? Just because you don't hear well, you don't take your ears off and throw them away. God says that we're to make up the body of Christ because the church is the body of Christ. So we ought to be members of it. You say, well, I don't know if I can be a good member. He didn't say that. He said, be a member.
Amen.
None of us are good. We're sinful. We all need help.
Yes,
but we could strengthen the whole body of Christ by being members of it. Cut your leg off and find out how weak you are. Cut your arm off and find out how weak you are. Cut your tongue out and find, never mind. Say, well, preacher, what's being a member mean? First of all, you have to be saved. Second of all, you're to be baptized by immersion, because that's what the word baptize means. And third of all, you're to join officially. You're supposed to have the same spirit, capital S. That means you've been born again. Listen very carefully here. You are welcome at this church whether you join it or not. But you're going to have to put up with me preaching like this from time to time. This isn't get what you want. This is army chow. You hold her out, we flop her down. Amen?
Amen.
Say why? Because I'm supposed to preach everything the book says. Last week I preached on hell. I don't like it, but I still do it. Miss Melody was telling me, she was talking to one of her friends, and she was asking about her pastor, whether I preached on the book of Revelation. She said, well, he uses it a lot. She said, but you ought to come last week. You preached on hell. She said, if you didn't believe it, you would then. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? But notice, we're to be a part of his body. Not just occasionally visiting. How would you like to have your foot just occasionally visit you? How'd you like to have your tongue occasionally visit you? Yeah. How'd you like to have your leg occasionally visit you? God says we're to become a member of it. Attach ourselves. Be permanently bound to it. Boy, that's good stuff. Number next. The church is his only body. The church is his only body. Completeness. Because he paid for it. Number five. Don't put your shoes on yet. He loves the church dearly. Because he loves his body dearly. Just like he said in Ephesians 5. Turn back to Ephesians 5 with me. Husbands, verse 25. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, watch this, and gave himself for it. Look at me. You cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Well, what do I get back? Then you did not give. You traded. I deal a lot in marriage counsel. The biggest problem I deal with is the selfishness of people. Well, preacher, I did this, but I didn't get this back. You don't love by expecting something back. You love in expecting nothing back.
Amen.
You ladies know what I'm talking about. Don't get mad at me. And I say this occasionally. There's nothing more helpless than an infant or a newborn baby. Proof that we're there, evolution is wrong. Do you know that human beings are the only ones that take so long from birth to become self-sufficient? By the way, we are not mammals. We're man.
Amen.
You didn't come from an animal.
Amen.
You came from God.
Amen.
We were created in His likeness. Watch an old cow birth. But she'll pop out a 100-pound calf and it'll hit the ground. Thump. It's got to find its own breath. She'll lick it to get it stimulated, get it cleaned off, and within half an hour or less, it's up suckling already, walking. It don't happen that way with you ladies with them babies. And don't get mad for how I say it, but a brand new infant is, they ain't worth much other than our attention because they can't do nothing. They can cry, they can eat, and they can exhaust. That's it. And they do all three very well. Now, wait a minute. You ladies love, and we dads love those infants, but they don't love us back. It takes a while to teach them how to love back. Then they go through the 3-year-old stage. No. You all know what I'm talking about. And then they do it again at 13 because there's not much difference between 3 and 13. Just a bigger body and a louder voice. They walk the same. They talk the same. They act the same. Just a bigger body. No brains. Amen. Now, God says here that He loved the church and gave Himself for it. You ladies suffered nearly to the point of death for that child. That's why you don't muck with a mama.
Amen.
Say why? She suffered for that thing. That's why we shouldn't mess with the church.
Amen.
That's why God loved it so much. He suffered for it. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Notice he differentiated. He said, you're the body of Christ and members. He didn't say everybody that's saved. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts and healings and helps and governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak tongues and do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts that I show unto you in a more excellent way. That word tongues there isn't talking about somebody flipping and flopping on the floor telling you all the motorcycle names backwards. The word tongue there means literally speaking another language. My secretary speaks sign language, not the sign language you know. But she has the ability to take what I say when someone's deaf and comes to our church and interpret. Some know Spanish, some know taco and burrito and all those things, you know. But if we had Spanish folks here, Brother Lopez speaks fairly good Spanish. He's able to interpret. Those were known tongues. You don't speak in some heavenly gibberish. Okay? But God says, notice he's talking about that there should be no schism in the body, there no fighting amongst ourselves.
Amen.
We're one body. That's why I hate cliques. I've chased more than one clique out of this church. Can I tell you why? We're not going to have any schisms in the body of Christ. We're not going to have the foot say that I'm better than the head. No, it stinks like everything else. We're not going to have the mouth say that I'm more important than this. No, everything has its place. I'm not the most important person in this church. You say, who is? I don't know. But I'll promise you this, those that clean the bathrooms and make sure it's stocked, if you have to use the washroom, they're pretty important at that time.
Amen.
Hello? the ones that take care of the one that takes care of writing the bills so that we have everything on here at the church. That's a pretty important thing. Yeah. See, who's the most important preacher? He is. I'm ashamed to say this almost. I was talking to a family this week. Their church is going through trying to find a pastor, so they're pastorless at the moment. They needed some serious advice. And they're a little worried at how the direction of the church is going with whom they're choosing. They just bringing a pastor in. They're offering him almost a $95,000 a year salary. Already has a house that's paid for by the church. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house, already paid for and totally remodeled. And the guy's wondering if he can live on that salary. I looked at that couple and said, that's criminal. Criminal. So yeah, they've already said in 6 months we're going to reevaluate, see if we need to give them more to help them more. I said, God help you. I can already tell you which direction the church is going. Be careful. Folks, I don't make close to that. I'm not trying to make money. I'm trying to serve God. I've been preaching this July 31st for 46 years. I've been in the ministry full time almost 40 years. Shut up. Yeah. But may I say something? I'm not in it for what I can get out of it. I'm in it to give everything I got for Him. May I say something very carefully here? Everyone needs a church. The day is going to come where you need a church. Your family needs a church. I feel sorry for people that don't have a church when they go through heartache. I feel sorry for a family that doesn't have a church when they face tragedy. I feel sorry for people that have a church that doesn't care about them when they go through those things. I think I was in Winchester Hospital from Thursday and Friday alone 4 or 5 times, helping with Miss June and Jean. I had business deals going on. We were closing and selling the property in Blacksville from Brother Kevin's church. Had other things. Had a big track day we were working on and a multitude of other business to go on. Guess what? My place was where I was at, which was at the hospital, helping our people. Business take care of itself. My job was to be with the people that were hurting. Is it not? And wait a second here. Everybody needs a church. I've walked the halls of those hospitals and I rarely ever see a pastor there. How sad. I get stopped from time to time by nurses and doctors and patients and they'll say, are you a pastor? Yes. We don't see them in here anymore. I was talking to Joan's doctor on the phone Thursday. I was headed back to the hospital. And I didn't make it back before he got there, but my wife was there and she put him on the phone with me to explain what they were wanting to do. And he said, Pastor Craig, he said, it's really unusual for me to talk to a pastor. He said, I'm glad you care enough about your church members to do this. I said, yes, sir, I'm on my way. I'm on 81 now. Keep talking and I might get there to see you. And we talked. And I asked questions. We were there the next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the doctor to get there to make some decisions and et cetera, et cetera. You say, preacher, why do you do that? Because that's my job as a pastor. It's my job as a shepherd. It's to take care of the sheep. Yeah, I got to make sure the bills get paid. Yeah, I got to make sure the business gets done. Yeah, I got to make sure that the buildings are cleaned and all those other things are cared for and oversee the whole thing. But can I tell you something? If something's a little out of place, thank God I was at the hospital with somebody that needed help. Don't get too wound up because your chair was crooked this morning. Fix it yourself, all right? Amen, Brother Paul? Now, wait a second. We got so many people that are so worried about where they put their self, they don't care about anybody else. I was preaching in another state years ago. I was a visiting speaker, and most of the time I sit on the platform. Sometimes the pastors will have me sit down in the congregation, that particular church I was going to sit till it was my time to come up and preach. So I came in and I sat down about where Wyatt is, right, or Evan, second row, right on the aisle. This old lady come down the aisle. She's looking at me. She said, "You're in my seat." I said, "Okay." So I got up and I moved about two or three seats over. She said, "That's somebody else's seat." I said, "Okay." So I finally moved a row or two back and I said, "Is this one okay?" "Yeah, I guess." I'm not kidding. I got up to preach. I thought, this poor old lady, she is not going to be happy after church. I got done preaching. We had a great church service. I went to the back to shake hands with the pastor as people were leaving. I was going to preach again that night. Guess who came up to the door? Miss Grouchy. She walked up to me. She said, "Don't sit in my seat again tonight." Then walked away. I wanted to put a size 8.5 somewhere. Make her walk a little faster. Can I tell you something? I don't want that reputation here. If your seat's that important to you, you got a problem. Can I tell you something? I thank God for a church that's a happy church. Amen. Shoot, sometimes y'all change seats and I've got to look all over the auditorium and find out where you are because you're changing so much. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that. I love that. Amen. Can I tell you why? Because we're one body and we make up the body of Christ. Amen. But this is our local body. There's no invisible church. Invisible churches have invisible pastors and invisible members that give invisible offerings. Do you ever notice those that believe in the invisible church don't have an invisible offering? The church of God is God's institution for which Jesus died. It became his body because he paid for it. I'm for every person getting saved. I'm for getting the gospel to every possible person we can. But being saved doesn't automatically make you a member of his body. Joining his body by joining the church is what makes you a member. I've tried to lead this church as close to that old black book as we can get it. I really do. I have read and studied and read and study that book. I average 3 to 4 times a year reading all the way through, plus all the study hours that I put into it, and have done so for well over 45 years. Are you a Bible scholar? No, but I do happen to know what the book says.
Amen.
And I happen to see God blessing Grace Baptist Church greatly.
Yes,
and I don't want to lose that. How about you join it? Be a part of it. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved. Can I tell you why? Because if you died, you'd go to a place called hell, and nobody wants that. We're not here to judge anybody. I can't force anybody to get saved. But I tell you that this, at this place, getting saved is the end thing. We'll rejoice with you. You become a brother or sister. And we like a big family here. Sometimes we squabble with one another like brothers and sisters do. Yeah. Can't do that with you, Scott. That's why he shaves his head. Thank God for the family atmosphere. We don't have to put it on the sign because when you're the body of Christ, it happens naturally. You see, everybody needs a church. How about instead of us getting, I hate the statement, the church of your choice. How about we do the church of God's choice?
Amen.
How about we make God happy? Because that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. wonder who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I would go to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." Do you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. I would never embarrass anybody. I'd never come to somebody. I'd never call you out. Is there one that would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know. I'll not embarrass you, I promise you. I'd just like to pray for you." You say, "That's me, preacher. I don't know that for sure." God bless you. Someone else? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, 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 many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you've never trusted Jesus, if you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible right up front here. In a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, you can know for sure and walk out those doors 100% on your way to heaven. I'm not talking about joining church. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about some weird experience. Just showing you how to accept Jesus Christ in the gospel. Maybe the Lord's touched your heart. There's something for you to pray about. Maybe you need to join this church. You come. We'll help.